But thanks be to God, who always leaves us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the blessing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the results of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Can we start with a prayer? Lord, bless the word. We bless your word. We ask you to bless what we're going to discuss now, what we're going to hear now, what we're going to talk about now. Just put into our minds, into our hearts, that particular kernel, that particular bit of relationship, that kernel of an idea, that bit of a relationship that you want us to expand on this morning. Bless that. In Jesus' name. Amen. So thanks, Bobby, for reading that. I'm going to talk just on the first bit of that, which is all about... my title is, You Are the Fragrance. We could say we are the fragrance. We are the fragrance. Because when we look at this reading, there's some quite striking words here. We've got words like captives and perishing and aroma that brings death. All seems a bit dramatic. And that's one particular translation. And shall we start at the beginning? Because my sense is, there's something quite powerful here for us, for each one of us. And I think there has been, as we've looked at Corinthians, powerful for us. And these are Paul's words, but inspired by the Spirit. Powerful for us in terms of understanding how we are in the world today, 2,000 years later. It isn't just about what was happening then. It's about how we can carry on with that sense of relationship with the Lord and relationship with each other in a sort of a confidence. And it talks about that at the beginning of chapter 3, that confidence, that competence. So if we looked at the first bit, you think, gosh, what's all this about? Leads us in captives in Christ's triumphal procession. That's a quite interesting translation. There's one word in there that's been translated as quite a long phrase. This word, which is captives in Christ's triumphal procession. It's one word, which relates, if you go back into the Greek and to the Roman times then, it translates into this general coming back from the wars, if you like, with all the spoils. And if we're not careful, it feels like that adversity, that sort of being in a battle and coming back with the captives, and we're the captives and we've lost. We could be in that triumphal procession with God, in our due right to be there. We could be there as someone who says, I've given everything to the Lord, therefore I'm here of right. Another translation, this is the Passion translation, uses a slightly different variation. And let me just read that first phrase to you. God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. Through our yielded lives, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. And that translation really spoke to me, those two verses there, really spoke to me. Hi guys, come in and join in and have a seat. We're just looking at Corinthians now. We're looking at fragrance. We're going to talk about us being the fragrance, God's fragrance. If we go on to the next phrase, there's a spreading. He uses us, it says, to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him. So I wonder how he uses us. Because he says, you are the pleasing aroma of Christ. The pleasing aroma of Christ around. Doesn't that sound positive? Does it sound positive? A pleasing aroma. And if you go back to the Passion translation, it says a pleasing fragrance. Could we be, I think that's my topic now, could we be that fragrance in partnership with God to those around us? Is that a nod? Is that a yes? But does that sound difficult? There's a bit of blank looks now. Does it sound difficult? It sounds difficult to me. I wonder what he's asking us to do in spreading that. It says we're the pleasing aroma of Christ. Does that sound interesting? Are we the pleasing aroma of ourselves? I'm not talking about whether we put antiperspirant on today or whatever. What I mean is, is there something in us visible to others of Christ? I've got my book here, which is the Richard Rohr book, The Divine Dance. And I know that two weeks ago, Craig came along here and he was flashing his Richard Rohr book. There's some quite interesting things. I know a lot of people actually find his stuff quite difficult. It is a challenge because Richard Rohr has taken a particular stance, which is a stance that I find quite attractive, which is really that he uses the words transmitter stations. He says, we are transmitter stations. We're passing something on to those around us. And I kind of think, well, what is that we're passing on? And my instant, and it comes out of his book as well, my instant sense reading these words is, well, what do we pass on? Love. Mercy. Do we want to pass on judgment, font? Probably not. Do we want to pass on our own power, our own personal interests? Do we want to pass on our own sense of our own status? I don't think so. Do I want to pass on love? Do I want to pass on mercy? That sounds like what I experience in Christ, what I experience with the Spirit, what I experience in God. That love and mercy. So I come back to my first question. Is that difficult? I think it is difficult sometimes. And I'm really intrigued by this phrase in here that says, "For we are, God, a pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and to those who are being perishing. What? What's going on here? Why is he suddenly talking about perishing? So one way or the aroma that brings death. I'm sort of shudder there. That feels a bit difficult. But I wonder if we notice, I notice, as we bring that sense of mercy in our dealings with others, that sense of love, some people find that quite difficult. When we bring that love and that mercy, those who want to bring judgment, those who want to bring a sense of their own status and power, find that quite undermining. So if we're standing there with this sense of we're going to love, we're going to accept, regardless of what they've done, I think that's a really powerful question, a really powerful place to be. Many of us have talked in the past about the book The Shack, and we've seen the film The Shack. There's an interesting bit right at the end of The Shack book, which doesn't appear in the film, interestingly, because there's a point where they say, where has Mac gone? And Mac is the main protagonist. Where's he gone? Well, actually, the place he'd gone was he'd gone to the trial of the person who had abducted and murdered his daughter, because he wanted to go and talk to that person, the person who'd done the abduction. They missed that out in the film, unfortunately, because I think it's a really powerful message. He wasn't standing in his community in church saying, aren't I wonderful that I've forgiven? He was doing something about it. He was bringing mercy. He wanted to go and talk to that person who'd done the awful thing, and he wanted to bring mercy to him. And I thought that was a really, really powerful message, and it was a shame it wasn't in the book. Is that difficult? I think that really would have been a really difficult thing for him to do. Maybe it is a stench of death to those who want to bring punishment, judgment, self-justification, where we bring mercy. And it says, the next part down, who is equal to such task? We're not asked to peddle the word of God. Not asked to make it a profitable output. All we have to do is speak the word there as sincerity. So that's my message as well to us. Can we just be sincerely ourselves? Are we boasting how good we are? Do we want to boast? Maybe we're just being ourselves. Isn't it hard sometimes to just be ourselves? To say, I'm not boasting, I'm just telling the truth. I'd like to love. I'd like to offer you mercy. I'd like to offer you love. I'm not saying that I'm good. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I have anything particular special apart from that relationship with the Spirit, with God, with Jesus. All I'm saying is I want to offer you mercy. I want to offer you love. What do people see in us, I suppose, as I'm wondering? Is anything more needed than just to see our hearts? Because he says at the beginning of chapter 3, you yourselves are our letter. Isn't that lovely? Letter. The picture I have in my mind is of a fragrant letter. We're the letter. We're not a letter written with ink. We're a letter written with the Spirit. Yippee. So what does that come back to? The Spirit, a partnership. He's writing on us. So another part of my question is that difficult? Maybe we just have to give out what we receive. Maybe we just have to give out that love and mercy that the Spirit puts on our hearts. It's not legalistic. It's great to know the scriptures, but do we always have to go and quote a scripture when somebody says something to us? Or maybe we just have to be ourselves, be that love, be that mercy. What does that say to you? Can we be with that Spirit, in partnership with that Spirit, what God always meant us to be? Maybe we do. What does the Spirit bring to us that we can share? Well, instantly my mind goes to Galatians. Perhaps, Peter, we can put up the Galatians quote. You're there before me, aren't you? What does the Spirit bring that we can then give out? Well, fruit. And you're all going to shout out to me what the fruit of the Spirit are. I'll let you off. It's on the screen. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Isn't that great? Joy. Can we bring joy to everybody? Peace. Forbearance. I know this is the translation here. There are other words, but forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I'm wondering what Paul's saying here in 2 Corinthians. He's saying, I think, let's be ourselves. Let the Spirit work in us in partnership. Let the Spirit bring these things out, that love, that peace, that gentleness. Do we need to get into the legalistic bit? If we look at verse 6 in chapter 3, he's made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. So what do you think he's saying to us there? Bring life. Isn't it lovely when we have David and Daniel here, bringing life, energy. Do we have to sink into looking at the legalistic? There's a difficult bit, I think, there that says the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Let's focus on the Spirit giving life. The Spirit's giving life. So is this difficult? I want you all to shout now. No!
No!
Thank you. It is difficult at times, isn't it? But it isn't difficult in that sense of just being ourselves, giving out what we've received, giving out what the Spirit's given to us, those fruit. Spreading that love and mercy, spreading that fragrance. Can we be the evidence of that love and mercy in the way we react to everybody? Can we be a blessing? But are we a challenge as well? Because there's something there about a challenge. We're a challenge to people who would love to bring that judgment? Are we a challenge when we bring mercy? I think we are. Do we have to be competent? As he says. But our competence comes from God. He's made us competent as ministers of this new covenant. What's this new covenant? Mercy. Love. Not judgment. And I think this is, I've had 61 years, nearly 62, so no, 60, how many years have I been here? 61 years of the world wanting to judge me. And I've fallen into that place of judging others many, 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 many times. So I ask for that forgiveness. As we sung earlier, we're seeking forgiveness. But just seeking forgiveness for those times we don't quite live up to it. And what happens? As soon as we ask for forgiveness, the Lord says, well, there's the prodigal son, that picture of the prodigal son. We've got a picture up there. Just grabs us. Because, of course, you're fine. You're great. So we just have to be. Do we just have to be? A fragrance. A fragrance. Can we do that? Is that all right? To say, let's spend a few moments. We just spent, you know, a few minutes listening to me. I wonder if we spend a few minutes just listening to what God's saying to you right now. What's God saying to you right now? Should we just spend a few moments talking about to God, talking about that fragrance? And I wonder if I could ask you to spend a moment or two just saying, what does my fragrance smell like? And again, I'm not talking about the underarm deodorant. I'm talking about that sense of us being to others. Should we take a moment to do that? I want to pray for us all now is that we just think we need nothing more. We need nothing more than just being in partnership through the Spirit with our Heavenly Father and our wonderful Jesus Christ. That we can just be that Spirit in our spirit. We can be that fragrance. We can be that, you know, something else that's not a judgment. What's that something else? That mercy, that love. What I'd like to do now is just bless. Bless what's going on now between you and God. And just take away all the distractions of noise outside and those sort of things and just say, bless that message he has for you at the moment. You being a transmitter station. You being a challenge to other people. Challenge because when you bring love and mercy, that's difficult. I wonder if we can just say, just being ourselves, let the Spirit work in partnership. And I bless that. Pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.